Man, I love VBS. VBS is unique in the fact that parents drop off kids with the understanding they're going to get the gospel. And so we get a chance to pour the gospel into young hearts and young lives. And so it is, there's nothing like it. I think it is absolutely one of the most incredible things that we can ever do. So I'm hoping that you have some availability. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is we're going to take the opportunity to do that this week. And so it should be a lot of fun. As you can see, the decorations kind of help make it nice. And I appreciate water. If you've seen the waterfalls, those are really cool as well. I think there's one in that room as well. So you got to go check that out as well. Hey, listen, let me just say thank you for all you do, MC3. You guys, I know we work you hard. You guys do some incredible things. And this week's going to be tough just because it's, you know, night after night after night. But yet, it's still a lot of fun to be a part of ministry and to do things that are, as we like to say, kind of way bigger than ourselves. And so I appreciate all of your hard work. And I know that it's summertime and it's always easy to kind of just relax and chill, you know, and to let the summer kind of spill over on a Sunday morning. But let me just say thank you for always being here, for loving one another, caring for one another. And the more that you're here, the more that other people are encouraged. And so just keep up all of the great work. And so I wanted to let you know that. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been bamboozled before? I love that word, right? We're going to use that word a lot today, right? You ever been hoodwinked? Right? Nope. Nobody likes to be hoodwinked, right? You ever been swindled before? How about bilked, burned, or beguiled? You know, nobody likes to be beguiled, right? What about, have you ever been conned, defrauded, duped, or outright deceived by somebody? It's a terrible feeling, right, when that happens to you. Maybe you've been scammed, ripped off, or you've been tricked before, right? The devil is out there, and he is trying to do all those things to you and to me. In fact, just this week, I get a notice on my phone from my bank asking me if I had made a purchase. And so I looked at it, and I went, that is not me. I was given the option to say, yes, I made the purchase, or no, I didn't. So I clicked no. And so what was happening there was somebody was trying to bamboozle me, right? Take my money, walk away with it, that sort of thing. And so I don't know if you've ever been there before in the past. My guess is we all have. We've all kind of walked away. We've all, you know, kind of given in to some of the slick talk of others, or maybe some slick ad, you know. I'm pretty sure most of you, except for my wife, has bought something off of Temu before, you know, and you get it, it's like three sizes too small, that sort of thing, right? You're like, oh, I've just been hoodwinked by Temu, right? Or maybe it was some kind of smooth-talking salesman, that sort of thing. But that's why we have passwords, that's why we have usernames, that's why we have these secret codes that get sent to you to make sure it was actually you that actually signed up for that thing. And so, because there's a lot of people that are trying to bamboozle us, right? And in fact, the biggest bamboozler of them all is Satan himself. Scripture talks about that. Think about it. He hoodwinked a third of the angels who were right in front of the Lord. They got to see God. They got to hear God. They got to experience heaven. And he tricked them into leaving heaven and to following him instead of God Almighty. And I can't help but think that on the day of judgment, there will be those that will walk away from the Lord, understanding that they've been scammed, that they have been ripped off, that they've been tricked by the devil. And there's nothing they can do about it at that point in time. In fact, the devil, he is the master bamboozler, right? He's the originator of sleight of hand. He is actually the ultimate deceiver. In fact, Jesus calls him, in John 10, he calls him the thief. He says that he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And then in John 8, Jesus again calls him the father of lies. Deception to him is a native language. He'd rather lie more than he would ever tell the truth. He will bamboozle many to their eternal destruction. That's what we see all throughout Scripture. And so this is why the Word of God is so important for you and for me. This is why it is so important that we understand that we need to read God's Word. We live in a day where there's information all over the place. We have information on information on information on information. It is on steroids. We can look up anything. The problem is we don't know if it's actually accurate or not. There's so much information. We don't know what's true, what's false. We have a hard time kind of sifting through. As I like to say, it's as if someone took a needle of truth and then took a whole bunch of other needles of lies and just dumped them right on top, and now we can't tell one from the other. And if we're not careful, we're going to get hoodwinked, we're going to get swindled, we're going to get bamboozled. And so we got to make sure that we know what the truth is, that we got to make sure who knows the truth, who is the truth. And so we see in Scripture that Scripture is truth. That's the one place we can go to kind of find out, is that right? Is that real? Is that what God really says, right? As opposed to what the world says. In fact, God isn't just full of truth. He actually is truth. He is truth. And so we know that we can go to the Lord and to His Word so that we can help ourselves know what the truth is, and we can help others get one step closer to Jesus so they can know what the truth is as well. Let me ask you this question, because all of us are disciples of Christ, right? We follow after Jesus. But my question to you is, are you also making disciples? Are you also helping other people around you follow after Jesus, protecting them from getting bamboozled? In fact, in some ways at VBS, it's kind of what we're doing with kids, right? Making sure they know the truth so that they don't grow up kind of believing the things of the world or the things that Satan would try to trick them on. And so we want to make sure they know who Jesus is. And what's interesting is in 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to be talking about how you and I need to follow after the Lord and read His Word. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. One of the first things we learn is this: Peter is calling all of us to lead. Now, not all of us are going to be elders, not all of us are going to be deacons, not all of us are going to be ministers, but all of us are called to lead in some way, shape, or form, right? And here's the thing, we don't just lead, we lead with humility. And that's exactly what Peter is talking about here. He writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1, and specifically, he's going to write to the elders of these churches. He says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve." It's interesting that in the midst of being an elder, in the midst of leading, that the word serving is there. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. He says, "Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away." I want you to take note of the fact of the command that's given to the elders in these churches. He says to them, he says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing." You're willing to do this as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve others, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock, or to the flock rather. And so shepherds are to watch over the sheep. They're to care for the sheep. The sheep listen and follow and trust the shepherd. I don't know if you've ever seen the video before. You can go and look it up. There's a shepherd who's standing on one side of the fence, and he has someone beside him that's off camera, and he's asking them to call the sheep over. And so they're, you know, "Hey, sheep, come." I don't know how you call sheep, but they're, "Hey, sheep, come on over. You know, sheep don't move. But when the shepherd raises his voice, they all start coming. And so what we are to do as shepherds of the flock is we are to care for the sheep. The sheep listen and they follow and they trust the shepherd, and the shepherd cares for them. Not only does the shepherd care for them, but he leads by example, right? He's out front leading the sheep, making sure that wherever he takes them is going to be a good spot, that he's going to look for, you know, little snake holes so there's no snakes that come up and bite them, and make sure that the grass is good for them to eat, make sure there's no predators that have been around so that he can protect them. He's going to watch over that flock. He's going to lead them himself. He's going to lead by example. And so you and I, as followers of Christ, even... Oh, Siri doesn't understand. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, she's in my pocket. She's talking while I'm talking. Are you kidding me? And so, anyways, we want to make sure that we're following after the Lord. And here's the thing. While not all of us will play the role of an elder, while not all of us will play the role of a minister or anything of that nature, as followers of Christ, we find ourselves leading every so often, leading the people around us, right? Sometimes it's leading others in just a knowledge of who Jesus is. Maybe it's over conversation. Maybe it's over coffee. We have opportunities every once in a while to lead. At VBS this week, some of you will have the opportunity to lead kids from point A to point B so they can go to their classes and get there on time. Some of you will lead them in the kitchen, making sure they get food, making sure they get everything they need. Some will lead from stage. Some will lead from behind the stage. Some will be doing games. And so we'll be leading these children, and not always in biblical things, but sharing an example of what love looks like for all of them. And so each of us have the opportunity to do this. Each of them, Peter says to the churches, each of the elders need to make sure that they're watching over them. Let me tell you this. You know, some of you may go, I don't even know who the elders are here at the church. And that's because they don't necessarily wear like a shirt. You know, they don't wear a name tag that says elder on it. But they're in the crowd. They're serving among you, right? And I'm going to tell you this. Did you know that our elders pray for you? Even if you're like, dude, this is my first day for being here. Well, then they've prayed for you as well. Elders meetings, at the very end, they spend at least, and I'm being conservative, 45 minutes in prayer for the church, for you, praying for you, lifting you up. A lot of times that's an hour and 15 minutes. When we could have already said, all right, well, let's just do one quick prayer, and that way everybody gets to go home early. They don't do that. In fact, we almost kind of get giddy, kind of excited about the last part of the meeting so that we can pray for you. And I want you to know that you've got elders that are praying for you. You know, they don't wear t-shirts that says, I'm elder, hear me roar. They don't do that, right? You won't know who they are. They don't walk around lording it over those around them, but they lead by example. They love, they provide mercy, they provide grace. They lead with humility. And so my question to you and to me is, are we also doing the same? Are we leading our family? Are we leading our little groups? Are we leading where God puts us to lead? Are we leading in the same way so that we can lead by humility and grace and mercy and love so that other people can know about Jesus? Because as we lead, we need to do that with humility, the Apostle Peter says, meaning that we're eager to serve. That we're eager to serve other people. Are you in God's Word? Are you preparing for the time in which you will serve? Maybe you're like, right now you're probably like, I'm just not in a season where I'm actually serving anyone. But are you getting ready for when God taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, I need your help. Hey, I've got someone that I'm going to put in your path and you're going to help them to get one step closer to me. Are you ready for that day when you will find that someone and you'll begin to disciple them in Jesus? Are you prepared? Are you prepared to live out the Great Commission to disciple someone else so they can know about Jesus, to lead in and lead with humility? Because that's how we're supposed to lead. This scripture, as I was reading this week, there was one scripture that kept rattling in my brain and kept rattling in my brain, and it's in Luke 12. And what's interesting is Jesus sits his disciples down and he tells them this. He says, be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, and he will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose masters find them ready. He says that twice. Even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also, he says, be ready. because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And that just means that we need to be busy doing what God has called us to do. I'm not just talking about busy work, but I'm talking about doing what God has called us to do. And so my question to you is, are you ready to help people walk one step closer to Jesus? Are you ready for that? Are you prepared for that when God puts someone in your path, when God puts someone in your way? Or it may be a certain ministry here at church that you're like, I just feel led that I should go and ask if they need some help, or I want to serve. And so you go and talk to someone and you make it happen. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to lead with humility? Because this week we're going to have that opportunity in VBS to lead with humility. It's going to be all about those kids. It's going to be all about Jesus. It's going to be all about the fact that they get to hear and know about Jesus and what Jesus has done for them. But also, too, while we lead with humility, and here's the interesting thing, we also, Peter says, we also follow in humility. Think about this. Look at what he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. He says this, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety onto him, because he cares for you. Do you know where we get in trouble the most? At least for me, at least. You know where I get in trouble the most? You know where I find myself making mistakes? It's when I make life about Art Stansberry. That's where I make mistakes. When it's about me and what I want, rather than what I should do for the Lord or do for other people, because that's what pride does. Pride puts us in that spot where it's just all about us. And no matter what we do, when we sin, we're telling God, God, I don't really care what you want. I just want to do what I want to do. Now, that's really what we do when we sin. We're like, I don't care what God wants. I just want to do what I want to do. It's interesting how we do that, but that's exactly what happens. And when we sin, that's what we're telling the Lord, right? So we find ourselves in sin, but we refuse to just simply do what Peter says, and that's follow in humility. Just follow in humility. Here's the thing. Humility doesn't mean that we would think less of ourselves. In other words, it's not that we go around going, I'm nothing. I'm just a servant. I don't count. I'm nothing. I'm a loser. I'm terrible. That's not what humility is, right? It's not thinking less of yourself, right? Humility isn't thinking less of yourself. Here's what humility is. Humility is thinking of yourself less. That's what humility is. It's that you don't even factor in because you're already thinking about the Lord first and others second. And you're in the back seat somewhere, right? In your mind, it's not even about you. And if that's the case, then you're working, living, thinking, loving people in humility. Humility is thinking of the Lord first and then thinking of others. Humility is putting others ahead of ourselves. And here's the interesting thing. Excuse me. The great paradox in Christianity is that you can't lead without following. This is very interesting, and it's going to get a little heady maybe just for most of you. At least for me it is. For you, you probably get it because you guys are probably way smarter than I am. But have you ever thought about this before? Think about Jesus, for instance. Jesus is a part of the Godhead. You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And amongst them, there is complete unity, right? And somewhere along the way, they understood in creation that this thing was going to go off the rails. Right? It just is. And so they already had the idea of what was going to happen. They already knew. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, as immediately Adam and Eve sinned, they already know what's going to happen. Insert Jesus. And so that's the plan. And so what happens? Jesus then comes along, right? Jesus comes in. And so at some point in time, the Godhead said, here's what we need to do. And God the Son had to, in his humility, follow that plan and then take off the robe of heaven and step into our world. It's interesting because as Jesus is baptized, it didn't have to be, but as Jesus is baptized to set the example for us, God the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And then what does Jesus do? Jesus then begins to march directly to the cross. And on the night before he goes to the cross, he's in the garden, he's praying to the Father, "Father, if there's any way that we could bypass this cup of suffering that's coming, then let's do that. But not my will be done, your will be done." And so here you have God the Father leading and God the Son just also leading, but also now following the Father and doing what he has asked, what they had already planned. And so you have Jesus leading, but also following. And so you and I also lead and also follow. And so Jesus proceeds to die for our sins, completing the task that was preset by the Godhead. Jesus leads with humility, but he also follows with humility. And what's interesting is as Jesus is risen from the dead, he's on the earth for a little while, and then he goes to be in heaven, and he is at the right hand of the Father. And so it's very interesting to me that you can't lead without following. Jesus tells his disciples, don't be like the Gentiles who lord it over those that they lead. Don't be the one to go, "Hey, you do this and do this and do this. And you do all these things and I can do whatever I want, but you do these things," right? That's what our politicians do, right? They lead and lead and lead and lead and don't follow. What we want to do is we make sure that we lead other people to Christ, but we also follow. We also follow. Every leader must lead with humility, but they also must follow with humility. Now, if you know me, you know, I just told our worship team this for our devotional this morning. If you know me, you know that I hate titles. Despise them. Now, all of us play roles. Roles are okay, right? We all play roles. We for some, you're the administrative assistant. For some, you may have this role or that role, but I can't stand titles, right? And for whatever reason in ministry, sometimes ministers seem to kind of like to lead into their title. Like, "Well, I'm senior minister," or "I'm head pastor," or "I'm lead minister," and the one that I don't like at all, I'm like, "Ugh," is reverend. I just don't like that. And so I know a lot of people lean into those titles, and others I'm not that. I've transitioned up. Now I'm an apostle, or I'm a bishop, and I just go, "Oh, good gravy." In my brain, I think that titles are for weak-minded people, right? I believe that we all have roles to play, but we ought not lean into those titles. And the only title I think that I would ever wear came from a guy over at Southland Christian Church. He was the lead guy there. His name is John Weiss. And he held the title of, as he led the church, of lead follower. I think that describes exactly what ministers, what elders, what deacons, what all of us are to do. We lead and we also follow. I'm reminded of what Paul tells the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Paul says, in complete humility, by the way, right? Now, Paul's got dinged for this. But this is in complete humility. Paul says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." What is he saying there? He's saying, "I'm the lead follower. Follow me as I follow Christ." It's exactly the way it is for all of us as believers in Christ. We are all lead followers along the way. Somewhere along the way, you're going to lead. Right, you're going to lead a Bible study. You're going to lead your family. You're going to lead, a group at your work where you're leading a Bible study with them or whatever. We're all going to lead it somewhere along the way. VBS, you're going to lead kids around or whatever. You're going to lead somewhere, but we also understand that we also follow. We are all lead followers, and so we need to make sure that we follow with humility. We also need to make sure that we lead with humility. But then we see in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that we also need to stand firm in humility. that we stand firm in humility. He says this, he says, be alert and of sober mind. By the way, this is the second time the Apostle Peter has mentioned that phrase. The first time was last week in 1 Peter chapter 4. And so now Peter repeats that command to be alert and of sober mind. He says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, he says, stand firm in the faith. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore and make you strong, firm, steadfast. To him be power forever and ever. Amen. What's interesting is, to a physical world, humility is a position of weakness. In the spiritual world, however, humility is a position of strength. It's a position of strength because we are humbly submitting ourselves to our Heavenly Father, humbly submitting ourselves to him. This past week, I was rolling through some videos on Instagram, and I came across one of our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. And you've heard me talk about Nigeria before. It's all over the news, how they have been persecuted in many different ways. There was one church, their church was obviously kind of bombed out. They had no roof, and it was raining. It was pouring buckets. I mean, we've experienced that here lately, right? So the fact that it's been pouring buckets. You know what they were doing? They, in the middle of the rain, they were singing and praising the Lord with the rain falling, puddles all around them. And I got to ask myself this question. I thought, Art, would you do that? Or would you just stay home and watch online? Would you be willing to go to a place, like tomorrow if this roof caved in and we couldn't fix it, but yet it was Sunday morning, would the worship team show up? And if we did, would you show up? Would I be there? Or would I decide, you know what? I don't want to get wet. I don't want to do that. I'm just going to stay home. It got me to thinking, man, here they are in complete humility to the Lord, and yet they are leading me in the fact that it doesn't matter what's happening around me, I'm still going to praise the Lord. I'm going to stand firm. Doesn't matter what others might do to me or my church or the minister that happened to be that at one time led that church, I'm going to still worship the Lord. They were standing in humility. And that's what we're called to do. Standing firm in humility. That's what it means to stand firm in the faith. That we just humbly follow after the Lord. And we lead others to do the same. So what does this look like for you and for me? Right? What does this look like for us to stand firm in humility? Well, it actually looks like Ephesians chapter 6. You've heard us read this a lot. In fact, we've prayed this a lot in our prayer team. It just says this. Paul says at the very end of his letter to the Ephesians, which, by the way, the Ephesian church had been through a lot of spiritual warfare. In fact, at one point in time, people that had been into witchcraft and had all these scrolls of incantations they could do and all that, they were burning them. And Paul even kind of gives a dollar amount as to how much money these guys were throwing away because they were done with that way of life and they were going to follow after the Lord. And so in light of all that, Paul later on writes them this letter, and he says at the very end, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's not ours, it's his, right? We stand firm in humility. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take their stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people, but it's against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms that have bamboozled and hoodwinked a lot of people. He says in verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, because it's going to come for all of us, right? There's going to be a day where it's just going to be terrible. This is going to be an awful day, you know, a bad hair day, whatever you want to call it. It's one of those days, I should have stayed in bed today. He says, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, remember, in the spiritual world, humility is a position of strength. He says, after you've done everything to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all these things, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, always be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. See, that's how we stand firm in humility. That's how we do it. That's how we stand firm in the faith. We just look to the Lord. Don't be bamboozled, right? Don't be bamboozled. Don't be hoodwinked by Satan. Don't let the world steal you away. Remember, it's not about you. This world is not about you. It's about the Lord first. It's about others second. So lead with humility. Lead others to Jesus in complete humility, helping them walk one step closer to Jesus, just giving of yourself, right? This week, if you've never been to Vacation Bible School, it can be taxing, right? Because it's every night, right? And so, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's tough. And so I'm going to serve these kids, and we're going to make sure that they know who Jesus is so that they don't get bamboozled, they don't get hoodwinked, they don't get swindled. And I don't know what the Lord has for you as far as what kind of ministry he wants you to be a part of. Maybe just to keep doing what you're doing, I don't know. But you and I need to prepare for whatever that is that God wants to do for us, to do in us and to do for other people. And so therefore, we need to also follow in humility, right? To be a lead follower, to follow the example of Christ that he set for us so that we can help others be able to follow that same example. And then we just need to stand firm in that humility, that we refuse to be moved, no matter what happens in our world, no matter what's going to happen, and in the future, that we refuse to be moved from the truth of the Word and of the Scriptures, so that we aren't duped or deceived or scammed or taken in, right? Ripped off by Satan, but that we stand firm in humility, knowing that this life is about the Lord first and it's about others second. And we're way, way, way in the back because we just want to follow Jesus and we want to love him and care for the people that he has put in our path. Man, if we could live this way, if we could truly live in humility, I believe then God could really truly be glorified, right? He could be truly glorified in the church. I believe also too that the gospel would definitely be preached to people, because some would hear it, but then some would also see it as well. And that the church, I believe, if we live this way, the church would be unstoppable. I believe that's what made the early church so successful and so incredible. And so may we strive to live in that same kind of humility. And as we approach communion, I just kind of want to remind us what kind of humility has been presented to us, has been an example for us. And the Apostle Paul does a great job in Philippians chapter 2. If you've ever been around MC3 for any length of time, typically, not all the time, but every once in a while, you're going to hear Philippians 2 being read during communion time, because it's such a great reminder to us how our attitude needs to be and how we need to not only serve the Lord and serve one another, but what the Lord has done for us. This is what he says. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Again, it's not about us, right? It's not about me. It's about the Lord. It's about others. He says, rather in humility, value others above yourself. Doesn't mean you don't value yourself. You're just going to make sure that you pay attention, right, to others. So yesterday, I went to a retirement party for a minister friend, and at that church, there's a guy by the name of Ralph Holbrooks. Ralph, you can always guarantee, Ralph is almost 100 years old. You can always guarantee whenever there's a meal, Ralph is always front in line. Now, Ralph's a great guy. He is. But when it comes to food, you know what Ralph's thought is? I'm first, right? I'm first. I'm going to get in line. I'm going to be there, right? And so sometimes we are like that, aren't we? Where it's about us first rather than others. And so he says in here, don't look to yourself, but look to the interests of others. He says in verse 5, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. And then Paul even doubles down and saying, even death on a cross. And so Jesus has paid everything for you and me, the ultimate servant. Listen, he is part of the Godhead. And what does he do? Takes off the robe of heaven, steps into our world, but doesn't just step into our world, goes to the cross and dies for you and for me. How incredible is that? Talk about putting other people first. That's what God has done for us. How can we not do the same for him and for one another? And so today, as you partake, whether it's here at these tables or the tables in the back, I want to encourage you, take some time to thank the Lord for his service to you, how he has served you, cared for you, loved you, watched over you, provided for you, and then begin to ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to be able to tell people about you? How can I help others walk one step closer to you? Because I'm telling you, you offer up that prayer, the Lord is going to use you. And you may think, well, I don't know how he can. I don't have any mad skills. Let me tell you something. You do have mad skills. Everyone here has something to offer the Lord. And he can use you in ways you never thought possible. You never even imagine what he can do through you. When we begin to make it not about ourselves, but make it about him and make it about others. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for what you've done for us. Father, I know that sometimes we say it over and over and over again, and sometimes we kind of lose a little bit of the meaning of what you've done for us at the cross. May we never do that, Lord God. May we never get to the point where we lose sight of what you have done for us, Father God. And Lord, I pray that right now you would help us to understand fully how you have served us in such a way, Lord God, out of your love and out of your tender care and in your humility that you stepped in and paid for all of our sins in full for us. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to recognize that, to see that, to understand that. And, Lord God, that you would also, in the midst of that, help us to know how, Lord God, we can follow you in doing the same thing for other people. And so, Father, I pray that as we partake today, Lord, that you would begin to speak to us on what it is that you need us to do next, on what the next mission is that you have for us. And so, Lord, bless us as we partake. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, if you need someone to pray with you, I'll be right over here. If you've got questions about what your next steps are with the Lord, I'll be happy to be able to speak with you and be able to help you get one step closer with him. So let's partake.